This morning, we are continuing our series, The Perfect Ten, and we're studying the Eighth Commandment. What is the Eighth Commandment? You probably know it. It's, you shall not steal, there in Exodus 20:15. But don't confuse steal with S-T-E-E-L. Like, you know, this is, by the way, how I'm shamelessly plugging what's going on at Stony, the steal going in at Stony Creek Church building. Look at that. Yeah, isn't that cool? This whole area is new here. You know what? Show the next picture. This is me looking out at it. You can really see how it's taking shape. This is like the balcony, the rounded balcony. When you first walk in, you're going to be able to see up to the kids' area there. It's all going to just be laid out for us when we walk in. So God is really blessing us and providing. Things are moving forward. But as exciting as it is, keep in prayer, guys, because it's an old building, and as we demo this or get into that area, new surprises keep hitting us. We're still moving forward. It's good. God is good, but we do need to be praying for, you know, good solutions to those things that pop up, for God's provision, his wisdom on how to deal with things, and it's exciting. We're going to be back there before you know it, and you're really going to miss these seats, guys. You're going to miss those chairs. What? Can we get a couple of these chairs back at the built? No, we won't do that to you. Promise. All right. Well, how many people here enjoy a good heist movie? You know, Team Oceans, whatever the number. I enjoy a good heist movie. Here's a few off of the top 50 list. IMDb's all time. We like them. We like those elaborate plans that they put together to pull off the jewelry heist or whatever it is. We like the thrill of it, you know. Are they going to get away with it? And we even begin identifying with the thief. Of course, the movies are made to work that way. You're identifying with the thief or the group of thieves that are putting this job together. And it may even happen along the way that you start rooting for them. You know it's wrong, all right? We already knew the Eighth Commandment. But by the end of the movie, maybe early on, you're already rooting for them to get away with it. You know, you don't want the cops to catch up with them. Right? That happens. Well, today's message is going to make you feel very bad about that, about liking those movies. So I'm dropping the boom on it. We are continuing our series, The Perfect Ten. It's about the Ten Commandments. And God originally spoke these commandments to the nation of Israel 3,500 years ago. And then fast forward to Jesus' ministry 2,000 years ago and his teachings, his life, his death, and his resurrection show how his followers, you and me, how we're to live out the Ten Commandments Jesus' way, how he expects us to follow these and obey God's law. And we've been learning all along this series, just a quick review, that these commands are not just simply a list of rules to be mindlessly followed. These are all about a dynamic and personal relationship between us and our God, the one true God. And that's what these are about, protecting and fostering and keeping that relationship. And this session is entitled, Quit Ripping Yourself Off. Quit ripping yourself off. Why is it called that? Because we're going to see that when we break the Eighth Commandment, when we're stealing, we're pursuing dishonest gain, we are ripping ourselves off from relationship with our God. We're going to see how that works out. But Jesus came and he was the embodiment, the complete fulfillment of God's law. And so while we rip ourselves off from relationship with God, Jesus came and provides the healing, a way to fix what we broke. And so we're going to look at that. If you look at your outline there, take that out of your program, get a pen out, get ready to write. We've got a few fill-in-the-blanks along the way. Helps you remember these things. We're studying three ways that stealing rips us apart from God, all right, and how Jesus heals us. What does Jesus do about it? Where can we find healing in him? The first area that you want to write down, how this rips us off, rips us apart from God, is that stealing doubts God's provision. Write that down. Stealing doubts God's provision. when God delivered his people from Egypt there in Exodus, and he gave them these commands, he promised that he would be the one to protect them, that he would be the one to provide for them and care for them. God promised to bless his people abundantly if they would follow him, if they would live for him. He would provide. It was clear provision was from the Lord. Even hundreds of years later, King David, Israel's King David, writes these words in 1 Chronicles. He's praying out to God. He says in 1 Chronicles 29, "Everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor, it comes from you." Scripture is clear on this, that everything we own, everything you own, everything I own, is on loan from God. It's all a gift from him, given to us, but ultimately his and provided to us from him. Jesus drives this home in the New Testament. When Jesus was preaching the most famous sermon of all time, it's called the Sermon on the Mount. There in Matthew, we see it. He drives this point home when he said in Matthew chapter 6, he said, "Do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things, they will be added to you." God will meet your needs, Jesus teaches. He says if we trust him and seek him with our whole lives, if we seek him first, that he will take care of the details along the way. Yeah, we have to work hard. Yeah, we have to save, financial planning, all these things. But he is going to provide for us along the way as we seek him. On the other hand, when we pursue dishonest gain, when we, you know, go and take what isn't ours in some way, we're taking provision, the role of providing for us, out of God's hands, and we're putting it into our own hands. And we're seeking what we want by any means necessary. Got to look out for number one. Got to get my own. We're chasing material possessions, seeking first our own gain instead of the things of God and trusting him to provide for us along the way. That rips us apart. One area where this is clearly going on is in the area of our giving. In the area of our giving, tithing, giving. The Bible records God's words to his people in Israel through the prophet Malachi, where God says in Malachi 3, "You rob me." All right, stealing is going on here. "You rob me," God says, "in tithes and offerings." But then look what he says. He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me. See if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop before the fruit is ripe. So failing to tithe, that is, giving 10% of our income, was called robbing God in the Old Testament. Robbing God. If there's anybody you don't want to steal from, it's got to be God. Jesus taught that tithing was the right thing to do in his earthly ministry. You can check out Matthew chapter 23. He talks about it. In fact, the New Testament authors go far beyond that. They teach Christians to give generously above and beyond the tithe, to the different needs around them, to church ministry, to support their leaders. But the point I want to make, look back at that Malachi passage. You could put it back up on the screen there for a second. The point I want to make is God says, test me on this. How many people, the reason they don't give is because they really don't trust God to meet their needs on what's left. If I give God the first 10% of my income, let's say, as a kind of a starting basis there, is he really going to meet my needs on 90%? God says, test me on this. I'm going to take care of you. You worry about worshiping me and pursuing my things, and then I'm going to take care of you. But we grab at money, and when we do it, and material possessions, we're even willing to cut corners despite God's promise to love us. In the New Testament, the author of Hebrews says, keep your lives free from that love of money and Be content with what you have because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. You don't need to pursue dishonest gain. You don't need to grab at material possessions in this world. You don't need to be chasing those things by any means necessary because you've got a promise from God to never forsake you, to never leave you, to always be caring for you. Our path to dishonest gain just reveals a lack of trust in our God. That's what it does. It exposes it in our lives. It tears us away from him. But Jesus brings healing. And we want to look at that. Here's the first way Jesus heals our relationship. There on your outline, he secured our inheritance. He secured our inheritance. When the Apostle Peter was writing to Christians that were facing hard times, Christians under his care, he reminded them of that great truth, what Jesus did for us. Okay, he says this. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith. Now, we may never achieve our financial goals here on earth, okay? We may never complete our portfolio the way that we like to, but Jesus has secured for us, already has secured for us our heavenly wealth, our heavenly inheritance. And it says it's being guarded. God is guarding it for us. There's nothing that can be done to take that away from us. And so, what is his point? His point is you can focus on living for him. You don't need to focus on living for yourself or amassing a wealth for yourself. You can focus on living for God because he's already got a giant inheritance waiting for you in eternity. Jesus doesn't promise that you're going to be middle class in this life or better. He doesn't say, if you follow me, you will at least be middle or upper class if you follow me. No, he doesn't say that. But he does promise to meet our needs. He does promise to take care of us. Many of Jesus' own disciples lived with very little. They went hungry. The Apostle Paul talks about it. Many of us are poor and hungry. Even Jesus himself is the perfect example of he gave up his riches to live among us. He gave up that wealth to pursue us. It says in 2 Corinthians, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich. I mean, the King of Heaven, guys. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. But Jesus has also gone even further. All right? We've got this heavenly wealth secured for us, so we don't have to worry about being wealthy in this life. All right? We've got eternity to enjoy the inheritance God has waiting for us. But he goes even further in to meet our day-to-day needs. Jesus taught this wonderful opportunity that we have to go to our Father in heaven in our prayer life, that we can bring all our needs, heck, even our wants, to God. You might say, no, you don't need that. But we can bring it all to him and ask him. Look what he said in this Sermon on the Mount that we've been reading from. Jesus said, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Your Father who is in heaven gives good things to those who ask him. And so we don't need to cut corners. We don't need to steal. That cuts us off from God because he tells us don't do those things. What we can do is go to our Lord in prayer and ask for our needs to be met. Don't take matters into your own hands. Bring everything that is on your mind, your stresses, your hearts, your bumps in the road, the car that broke down, whatever it is, bring it to the Lord in prayer. The second way that stealing rips us apart from relationship with God is that, and you want to write it down, is that it hurts people that God loves. Pretty simple, but I think we forget about this a lot. This command, the eighth commandment, is about honoring others and their personal property. That's really the heart, is that you care about others around you and their personal property, so you take care of it. Moses, who wrote that the commandment down, who recorded it, also recorded this command from the Lord. It says, do not steal in Leviticus 19. Do not lie. Do not deceive one another. It's all tied together. It's all tied together, from bank robbery to gambling to borrowing yard tools and not returning them for so long that they've been in your garage long enough that you think that they're yours. That was a long one. To stealing people and their freedom, slavery, human trafficking, to things like wasting time on the clock at your workplace, to illegal downloads, songs and videos and things that profit you but don't profit in any way the people who created those things or distributed those things. Price gouging. Heck, even plagiarism. Stealing other people's thoughts, passing them as your own. All of these things are about dishonest gain. They're about pursuing your own interest, even at the expense of others. Even if I have to step on somebody else to get what I want, that's hurting other people. And it's people that God loves. You know, I've got this nice picture of my sons who were acting like they loved each other for this photo shoot. And it happens quite often that they get on each other's nerves and even wrong each other from time to time. And when that happens, when one of my sons is being mean to the other, I tell them that besides being disappointed in their action, you know, that I'm also hurt because the son that's being hurt is somebody that I love. I've sat my oldest son down. Usually it's the oldest, right, picking on the youngest. You know how it is from your own families. I sit Xander down sometimes, and I say, you know, what you did to Ben, like, Xander, do you know that I love you? You know that I love you so much, right? Like, there's, after your mom and Jesus, like, there isn't anybody else who compares to you in my eyes. Do you understand that, Xander? He'll say, yeah, Dad, you know. And I'll say, all right, well, you know how upset and angry I'd be if somebody hurt you? If somebody hit you, or if somebody stole from you, and he's, yeah, I'd be angry, right? Because I love you so much. He's, yeah, Dad, yeah. Well, Xander, that's how I feel about Benjamin. He's tied with you, all right? I love you both so much. And so not only do I look at Ben getting hurt, and I think, oh, man, am I angry that my son got hurt here, but look at how much it must break my heart that the one who did the hurting was my other son, who I love. When God looks at us down here on earth, breaking these commandments, sinning, of course, the number one offense is against our Creator. That's for certain. And we need to talk about that. But the other offense is he sees his children hurting each other, stepping on one another, looking out for their own interest instead of their neighbor, their brother, their sister. You might say, okay, Chris, well, I get that with slavery, tracking there. Slavery's bad. Bank robbery is bad, even if we like the heist movies. But come on, not returning a rake that I borrowed from some guy 5 years ago. Now it'd be weird to even return. I'm just keeping it. Or illegal downloads, come on. I'm just making a copy of something. You know, I didn't. It's not like the person doesn't have their copy of it anymore, you know. And so maybe it's not a big deal. Well, What are the words of our Lord? In Luke 16, Jesus said this. He said, if you're faithful in the little things, you will be faithful in the large ones. He also said this, if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? See, Jesus cares even about the so-called small stuff because it's a heart issue. And we need to seek other people's best interest, not our own at other people's expense. Even in the small things. Even in the taking, you know, extra office supplies from work home. All right? That's still dishonest gain at the sake of another person whom God loves. You say, well, what about the greedy big companies? All right? Now what about greedy companies? Okay? How could iTunes charge that much for music? Of course I'm going to download it illegally. All right? Greedy companies, or even worse, what if it's somebody who's wronged me in some way? I'm not giving that guy that rake back. You know, that guy was a jerk, you know, to me all the time. His dog pooped in my lawn one time. All right? Well, Scripture doesn't let us off the hook, even with the big, corrupt company. Scripture doesn't let us off the hook, even with our enemy. Look at Exodus, same book where we get the Ten Commandments. It says, if you come across, in chapter 23, if you come across your enemy's ox or donkey wandering off, be sure to return it. Not your neighbor's ox or donkey, your enemy's ox or donkey. It goes even further. It says, if you see the donkey of someone who hates you, fallen down under its load, do not leave it there. Be sure you help them with it. Now, you can't even just pass by and be like, all right, well, I won't wish them harm, but I'm not going to do anything to help. Scripture says, no, you need to go and help somebody. The point is to look out for the needs of people around you, to seek their best interests. And this all comes down to the next thing on our outline, how Jesus heals this hurt. See, we hurt other people God loves, but Jesus, the fulfillment of the law, man, he gave us the way to heal it. And it's the way that he modeled the golden rule. Write down the golden rule. You know the golden rule. While he was teaching about our heavenly wealth and about how if we ask, seek, knock, God will provide for us, Jesus rolls right into the golden rule. That's the context of the golden rule. He's talking about don't chase after monetary stuff, but trust God to meet your needs. And then he rolls right into the golden rule where it reads on the next page. Don't let me down, thumbs. All right. He says, In verse 12, in chapter 7 of Matthew, it says, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. He says, if you just live this way, you'll be seeking ways to fulfill the commandments, to live out the Ten Commandments and everything else that God has commanded his people to do. He said, just do this. Jesus is offering the solution to the eighth commandment. Stealing is about selfish gain. And it's at the expense of others. But Jesus taught us to treat others not how they treat us. You got to make sure that you're clear on that. He's not saying treat others as they treat you. So if somebody's nice to you, be nice. No, he says treat others how we want to be treated. Even if they don't treat you that way, that's how we're to treat them. Because it's about being faithful to God. Seeking others' best interest. Not stealing from others, cheating others in order to step ahead in our own agenda. You know, it's about obeying God, whether they're doing it or not. So it doesn't matter if it's a greedy corporation or a jerk neighbor or whatever. We're accountable to our Lord, and we've got to treat others the way we would like to be treated. God says he's taking care of you, and then he says, now go out and take care of others. I'm taking care of your needs, so quit worrying about stepping on people to get what you want. Go out and take care of others. You know, the opposite of stealing is not simply not stealing. Not in the Bible. All right? That might just sound weird to you. The opposite of stealing isn't just not stealing. Should I take this? No, I'm not going to. Okay, I did the opposite. No. In the Bible, it's defined like this. Look at here in Ephesians 4:28. The Apostle Paul writes, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but, here comes in what they ought to do. It says, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Paul's talking about the golden rule here. All right? He's teaching what his Lord taught. The opposite of stealing is hard work. And not just hard work, but also generosity, giving. That's the opposite of stealing, working hard so that you can be generous and open-handed with what God ultimately provides you. Moses wrote it like this in the Old Testament, back where the Ten Commandments, we find them, book later. It says, when you reap the harvest, in Leviticus, when you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges. Do not go over your vineyard a second time. Why not, Moses? I might have missed some grapes or something, or some fruit. Why wouldn't I go over it a second time? Why wouldn't I go right to the edge? That's like missing profit. He says, leave them for the poor and the alien. Be considerate of people traveling through the land that need help. Be considerate of the poor people among you that can, you know, do some work and pick their own grapes for their need that day or their own fruit or grain or whatever that they need for that day. He's saying live open-handedly. It's not just about not stealing. It's about looking for the good of others. That's how we obey the eighth commandment Jesus way, by keeping the golden rule. And then the third thing that we want to look at as we move along here, the third way that stealing just rips us apart from God, and then we'll look at how Jesus heals it. But the way it rips us apart is that we sink into the devil's family. Wow, Chris just brought the devil into this. We sink into the devil's family. Jesus taught us to live by the golden rule, but when we do the opposite, when we live for ourselves and by any means necessary with dishonest gain, stealing, lying, cutting corners, cheating, ripping people off, who are we acting like? Jesus said that the difference between him and the devil, who he calls the thief, is this. Famous passage in John chapter 10. Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil's a thief and a liar and a killer and a destroyer. He's here to mess things up and hurt people. That's the devil. But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus came to give. He came to give. But when we lie, when we cheat, when we steal, we're looking like the devil. We're looking like the ultimate thief who kidnapped us from our God. We were, in the Garden of Eden, in paradise, in relationship with God, and we allowed the devil to come in and convince us to sin against our Creator, and he kidnapped us. And he's been our kidnapper. And it's Jesus that has come in to set us free from him. And if you've put your trust in Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, you've taken that life that he said he came to give, because Jesus went to the cross and he paid the penalty for our sin, our offenses to God, not just the eighth commandment, but all of God's law that we broke. And he paid the penalty for that so that we could have life. But if you've trusted in Jesus for that, but then you start still cutting corners, still ripping off your workplace, still, trying to get ahead through dishonest means, you're not looking like your heavenly Father. You're looking like the guy who kidnapped you, who you've been saved from. You're blending in with his family. But Jesus did the work to heal this rip in our relationship with God too. Jesus called us to leave the herd. Jesus called us out right after he gave the golden rule to us. Wild and radical. Treat others the way you want to be treated. I've looked out for your best interest. I still am. Now you look out for the interest of others, Jesus said. That was wild. That was radical. And then Jesus went on to say this. He says in Matthew 7, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. He's talking about himself. Jesus has said, I am the gate. He said, it's easy to blend in with the devil's family. It's easy to lie and cheat and steal and look out for number one. That's valued in our culture. Look out for number one. All right. Yeah, I wouldn't want people to steal from me, but if I feel like I'm stealing and I'm not going to get caught or nobody's really getting hurt, it's okay. We, in our culture, that's okay. That's even praised. Somebody's, cutthroat in business, we say, oh, they're sharp. Even if it's at the expense of other people, they're not just doing honest, hardworking business. They're hurting other people to get ahead in business. We say, oh yeah, that person's sharp. But Jesus called us to leave all of that. To live by the golden rule, to leave the herd and to follow him. He said that's the way that leads to life. That's the way that leads to sonship and daughtership into God's family. Stealing's about taking something that doesn't belong to us, taking what isn't ours. But Jesus, when he invites us to come through the narrow gate, he's offering something that we couldn't have gotten ourselves. But he paid for it and is giving it to us as a gift. That gift is eternal life, that heavenly reward we've talked about. Jesus says, if you will walk away from the herd, live for me, live out these commands, my way of living them, live the golden rule, follow me, put your trust in me, you will leave all of this. Jesus paid for the penalty of our sin on the cross, and he calls us to turn away from living like the herd around us, the sinful world that's lost its way and is separated here on earth, and if it nothing's done about it, into eternity in hell. He calls us to walk away from that and to take hold of his free gift by putting him up as Lord and Savior of our lives. And then he tells us to go out and live the way he lived, caring for others, practicing the golden rule. This leads to our main idea today. You want to write this down. If you're like, I'm not really a writer down, I haven't pulled out my outline yet, pull it out now and fill this in. We're talking about Jesus' way to fulfill the eighth commandment, to live the eighth commandment. It's to give what you receive, or share what you receive instead of taking what isn't yours. Jesus has given you everything. If you've trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he has given you everything. All the heavenly inheritance waiting for you, a direct connection with God Almighty here on this earth. He's not promising your circumstances will always be great. Not at all. He promises they'll be hard. He said the way to me is hard. Yeah, leaving the herd might mean leaving riches sometimes. But he's promising life, what really counts. He's given you everything that really counts. And then he tells us to go out and share it with others. Instead of taking what isn't ours and grasping at it and looking out for number one, Jesus said, just as it's been given to you, everything. I haven't held back anything. If you've trusted in me, you've crossed over from death to life, your inheritance is in heaven. Now go out and live for me. Practice the golden rule. Care for others. Help them. You see them caving under a load with their donkey. Probably not donkeys nowadays, but whatever the situation, their car broken at the side of the road, help them. Be a generous, open-handed, loving, outgoing person. That's how Jesus fulfilled the eighth commandment, and that's how we keep it Jesus' way. Now, for some of us here, that might need to begin with making things right. Maybe as I'm talking, things are coming up in your mind, and you're thinking of, oh, yeah, I know I definitely ripped that one guy off. Or I definitely have some stuff in my garage that doesn't belong to me. Or, yeah, I've been taking products home from work. You know, I haven't bought, a pen in 30 years. Well, Moses tells us this in the Old Testament. He said, make restitution in full. He says, if somebody has been caught stealing, they need to make full restitution. And there's a great example in Jesus' ministry in Luke chapter 9. It's this man, Zacchaeus. You know the story. He's the wee little man, and he climbed up in the tree, and there's a Bible, kids' Bible song about it and everything. Well, at the end of the account, Zacchaeus has turned his life over to Christ. And the thing about Zacchaeus is he was a very rich man, but he had cheated a lot of people and stepped on a lot of people to get there. He was a thief, he was constantly cutting corners, cheating people, hurting people that God loves. But he had a total change of heart when he came to the Lord. Look at what it says in Luke 19:8. It says, Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And Jesus goes on to say that what this guy is doing is showing that he has been saved, that he is my child now. That he's a child of Abraham is what the expression Jesus uses. Zacchaeus makes it right and even goes further. He's like, I've wronged you, so this isn't just giving it to you back, but here's like wear and tear, cost. And then he goes even beyond that. He says, half of my wealth is just going right to the poor. I'm going to start living open-handed now. Instead of closed fist and grabbing at everything, I'm going to be sharing what's been given to me. That was Zacchaeus's conclusion. If we really want to follow Jesus and live out the eighth commandment his way, we need to dump our illegal downloads. Get rid of them. You got stuff on your computer that you didn't pay for that you know shouldn't be there. Don't think there's some weird technical. Well, I just think that maybe it's about the heart. All right, it's about the heart. Jesus is saying don't profit dishonestly. So get rid of those things. Return that hedge trimmer or that rake. Have an awkward conversation. Say, hey, I was just really moved to give this back to you. You're probably wondering who you lent it to. And then they've probably got your name on the fridge or something that they'll cross out getting you back one day or something and you don't even know it. return those things. And then, instead of doing that kind of stuff anymore, begin living with other people in mind, just as Jesus emptied himself to come and offer you eternal life. Empty yourself for others. All right? Our main idea again, share what you've received instead of taking what isn't yours. We're going to close our service here in just a minute, and I'd like to pray for you guys. Maybe you're here today and you want to answer that call. I worded it like leaving the herd. And what I'm talking about is you're making the decision to become a Christian today. You want Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior. This is how you cross over from death, separated from God, to eternal life in relationship with him here on earth and into eternity. If you want to do that today and you'd like to talk to somebody, we have our pastoral prayer team that's going to be down here after the service. They would be ready and they would really much love to talk with you, pray with you. Maybe you need to do business with the Lord in some other way and you just want to do something. I've seen this before where folks are just like, I'm just moved. I need to do something physical to show that I'm turning over a new leaf in this area and I'm going to live for Jesus. And you want to just come down and pray down here. There's nothing magical about these steps. It's just a junior high cafetorium. But it's a way of physically saying, I'm coming forward, Lord, and I'm going to kneel down here, and I'm asking for your forgiveness of all those times I've cheated and stolen, and show me where I can make it right with the people in my life and begin living more open-handedly like my Lord. All right? And if you want to come down and do that, nobody will bother you if you come over here. You just want to do that between you and the Lord. Come and do it. If you want to talk to somebody, our pastoral staff is here. All right? Let's stand together to close for prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you so much for your word. Your commands, all of your commands, they're not a weight that we just buckle under and they're so rough and hard. No, your commands are about a relationship with you. They're about the best way to live. They're about how to live in relationship with you and accomplish your will and get your will for our lives. Lord, I pray we would trust you. We would trust you to live according to your will for our lives. Even when times look tough, even when something is what we really, really want, I pray that we would trust you and not seek things by dishonest gain. Show us, teach us in our daily living how to live open-handedly. We love you, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.